While you're standing, would you turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 15? And we're going to consider today verses 22 through 25. Exodus, chapter 15, verses 22 through 25 from the New King James Version. This is what it says. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of the place is called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. Then he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Would you please be seated? I want to talk about wilderness faith. Say something about how the wilderness develops our faith. We want to, this section of scripture is taken from a larger context, and I want you to refamiliarize yourself with the larger context in which we find the verses that were read for us this morning. And so we should begin with chapter 14. Chapter 14 really sets the scene for the text that we are considering this morning. In chapter 14, the children of Israel had recently been delivered from bondage in Egypt. They witnessed the mighty hand of God at work. Yahweh had proven his power over the idol gods of the Egyptians by sending 10 plagues. Each plague that God sent was designed to demonstrate his dominance over an idol god of the Egyptians. In the 10th plague, God sent the death angel to take the firstborn of men and animals, and only those people who followed Moses' instruction in preparing for Passover were saved. It was the 10th plague that convinced Pharaoh to let the people go. The Bible says that the heart of Pharaoh, after he drove the people out, the heart of Pharaoh and his servants turned against the people, and they asked themselves, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" So Pharaoh made ready his chariots and took his people with him. He also took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And he pursued the children of Israel. The Bible says that Israel came to the Red Sea and found themselves trapped between Pharaoh's army and the Red Sea, with apparently nowhere to go, no way of escape. The Bible says that the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them, so that it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. It was a cloud of darkness on one side and gave light by night to the other side. So that no one would come near Israel all night. Moses cried out to God and was instructed to raise his rod. You know this, raise his rod over the waters of the sea. And when he did that, an east wind blew all night, dividing the waters of the sea. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground. And the waters were a wall to them on the right hand and on their left. The children of Israel escaped through the miraculously divided sea, and when the Egyptian army followed, they were all drowned. The Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. And the Bible says, so the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and his servant Moses. That's chapter 14. Chapter 15 opens with a grand celebration. It says, then Moses and the children of Israel sang a song of praise to the Lord. In 15 verse 20, it says, Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out with her with timbrels and dances of praise. God had proven beyond a doubt that he is the living God. God had demonstrated his sovereignty. He had shown the people of Israel the power of his favor and his ability to deliver and to protect. And it was a revelation that was worthy of praise. In our history as Americans of African descent, we observe what we call Watch Night Service. We celebrate on New Year in remembrance of January 1st, 1863, when enslaved Africans in the Confederate States were declared to be free from slavery during the American Civil War. Even to this day, we can and should celebrate praising God because of the grace of God and the blood of thousands of Americans so that the chains of bondage would be broken and freedom made possible for Americans of African descent. This was the children of Israel experiencing freedom. They celebrated their freedom from bondage. They celebrated the defeat of the Egyptian army who pursued to destroy them. And it was worth celebrating. That's chapter 15, verses 1 through 21. When we get to our text this morning in verse 22, the A section says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. There is movement in the text that I want to bring to our attention this morning. The movement in the text teaches us that chosen people who are called by God are responsible to move forward into the fullness of God's blessings. The text is tailored to teach us that people who are chosen and called by God, blessed with liberation, are responsible to move forward into the fullness of God's blessings. God's plan for the descendants of Abraham was that they should occupy, that she should possess the land of Canaan as their own possession. But in order to get there, they have to come through the wilderness. They have to move from the scene of victory on the other side of the Red Sea. It was a place of victory. Yes, it was a place of celebration, but it was not all that God had for them. This was only the beginning. And I wanted to point out that there are times when we, you and I, are tempted to get stuck at the beginning of the process, in the celebration of the moment, and we never move into the fullness of the blessings that God has reserved for us. You can finish what God has placed in your heart because God has given you the power to. One of my favorite counsels to young people going to college, we celebrate their graduation from high school. That's wonderful. We celebrate the fact that you got accepted into the college or university of your choice. That's wonderful. But that's only the beginning. There is no victory unless you finish what you start. Amen. you and I can finish what God has placed in our heart, because he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we get stuck at the beginning of the process. We confess our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the Spirit of God, who brings the power to release your potential, which enables you to fulfill God's unique plan for your life. But too many of us get stuck at the point of positional sanctification. We celebrate being saved and never step out in faith. We celebrate the fact that God is going to take us to heaven, but we sometimes don't do what needs to be done to be blessed right now. You come to worship, you get inspired by the word, your spirit is encouraged, your heart is made glad, but you leave and never put into practice the spiritual principles that will produce blessings in your life. You become a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, so there is no progress in your life. It's possible to get stuck at the beginning of a career. By faith and hard work, you prepare yourself to excel in your profession or your business or your career that God has blessed you to possess. You celebrate and give God glory, and you thank him upon completion of preparation. You graduate with honors. You cut the ribbon for your new office. You break ground for your new facility. You secure finances to get started. You hang a shingle on your new agency and get stuck right there. Because it takes faith and a willing heart to move into the fullness of God's plan for your life. Or you find a soulmate, fall in love, agree to marry, plan the wedding ceremony, enjoy a grand celebration, honeymoon in Hawaii, come home and get stuck right there. You never move forward harmoniously and matrimonial partnership. When the celebration ends, it's time for the work to begin. Trust God together and exercise together your faith in God. You get stuck in the beginning and never progress together according to God's plan. In the text, rather than allowing the people of Israel to get stuck after a miraculous crossing of the Red Sea, singing songs of praise and collecting valuables from the fallen body of the Egyptian soldiers, Moses led the people out into the wilderness of Shur. Moses understood that God has more for Israel. But in order to realize the more that God has, Israel has to learn to trust God in the wilderness. The same is true for you and I. As long as we are on this journey called life, God has more for you. Eyes have not seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. The more that God has planned for you is beyond comprehension. No one can stop God's plan for your progress but you. The truth is, God can take every limitation that's been put in your life by you or somebody else and expand your heart and purpose in a way that's more effective than anyone can imagine. Ephesians chapter 3:20 reminds us that he is able to do exceedingly. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even imagine, according to the power that is at work in us. Moses led the people out into the wilderness of Shur. 22, the B section says, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. The people were on their way to Canaan, on their way to the promised land, the land promised to their ancestor Abram. Canaan was the goal, but to get there, to get to the place that God has promised, they had to go through the wilderness. The wilderness is where you learn to trust God. The wilderness of Shur was unfamiliar territory for Israel and Moses. But guess what? God knows his way through. And so what it requires is faith. The wilderness and the faith in the wilderness helps us to depend on God for guidance every step of the way. It is in the wilderness of our lives that we learn to trust God completely. I got some witnesses here this morning. It's when you don't know the way for yourself and you have to depend on God to show you the way. And sometimes, like Abraham, he doesn't show us all at one time. We have to trust him one step at a time. Have I got a witness in here this morning? In the wilderness, we trust God for the resources that we need. It is in the wilderness that we learn to trust God for protection. It is in the wilderness that we learn to trust God for guidance. It is in the wilderness where God humbles us so he can speak to our hearts. Our faith is developed in wilderness situations. Even Jesus had a wilderness experience in order to pursue God's goal for his life. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, you will remember he was baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist. And the record declares that he came up out of the water, the heavens opened, the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove, alighting on him. And the voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." From there, he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit of God to be tested. And only afterwards did Jesus come out teaching and healing and preaching and casting out demons and performing miracles. There is no way of getting around it. There is no easy way through it. No shortcuts, no gimmies. It's like the poet of old said, you gotta go through it to get to it. Verse 23, now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because they were bitter. Therefore, they named the place Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Here, Israel had traveled for 3 days. When they ran out of water, this would be the first test of their faith in the wilderness. And when I read this, I find it amazing how quickly their faith fell. 3 days ago, they were collecting from the fallen soldiers of Egypt. 3 days ago. 3 days. They saw God divide the waters of the Red Sea. 3 days. 3 days. God showed his hand, his power. They were convinced that nobody can do this but God. 3 days. And now 3 days later, they run out of water and they are dead. It's amazing how quickly we lose faith. It's nothing you haven't been through before. And God works it out. We need to understand that in order for God to strengthen our faith, for us to move from faith to faith, it has to be exercised. Faith is an action. Once Israel stepped out in faith, moving towards God's purpose, they had an idea that they knew what God would do. Because we all have gods that we've made up in our minds. And the God that we made up in our mind, We know what he's going to do because he's our made up God. Israel had, even after experienced liberation from Egypt, even after experiencing what they had experienced in the wilderness, they still had a made up God in their own mind that they were serving. And so they had this God on their mind when they went out. And this God in their mind, they knew what he would do because he does what they tell him to do. They expected God to do what they wanted God to do, and that he would do it when they thought he should do it, and that he would do it in the way they expected him to do it. And the wilderness teaches us that God does not work that way. Faith is trusting God, period. It's a valuable lesson for those of us who are moving through the wilderness in faith. We have to learn to believe God, and it's more than believing in God. Believing in God is one thing. Demons believe, but believing God, that's something different. It's more than claiming to trust and trusting him in the wilderness. Because claiming to trust him in good times is one thing, but trusting him in the wilderness is another thing. It's more than faith talk. Because talking about faith is one thing, but actually practicing faith is something altogether different. And a whole lot of us do a good talk game, but when it comes time to exercise, we fall short. You can't have faith without wilderness. We need some wilderness experiences to mature our faith. Wilderness is where you learn mature faith. This is the kind of faith enough to put into practice Philippians chapter 4, 6, and 7, where it says, "Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus." They walked 3 days, ran out of water. Their very survival was threatened. Didn't God know that they needed water to survive? Is God so forgetful that he would allow his people to go out that far and not provide the resources necessary for survival? They came to the oasis and tried to drink the water, but discovered that the water was bitter. I looked at that bitter water. One writer suggests that the bitterness of the water was reflective of their bitterness of spirit. One rabbi concluded it this way. He said that when you translate literally the Hebrew words for "because it was bitter," he said it actually means in the actual Hebrew, "because they were bitter." According to this teaching, the reason that the water of Marah was undrinkable is because Israel was undrinkable. The water wasn't bitter, they were bitter. And then the rabbi tells a story, a children's tale that I thought I would share with you, because it says there was a bird, a little bird, traveled the world looking for a nice smelling haven and pleasant smelling friends. He traveled the world, couldn't find any, until he realized that the bad odor he had always smelled emanated from a piece of rotten garbage stuck in his own nose. He realized that the smell wasn't coming from others. That what he smelled was something stuck in his life. It was stuck there. Could have been removed, but it was stuck there. Wasn't in his nature to be bitter, but it was an external factor. Along the way, Israel became bitter. Here in the text, they called the place Marah immediately. They called the place Marah because the water was bitter. And immediately the people began to grumble against Moses. I'm not going to talk for Moses because we know what it's like to be in pastoral leadership. Here's the message. Be prayerful and careful so as not to grow bitter along the way. Move forward in the name of Jesus and the power of God without grumbling, complaining, or murmuring against God, because God hates murmuring. Be mindful not to turn on each other as if your destiny and divine blessings are controlled by people. Would you say, Pastor? Amen. Be mindful not to turn on others as if other people control your destiny or the divine blessings that God has set aside for you. You can't take my blessings. That's real. That's real, y'all. No matter what you do, you can't stop God from blessing me. Not only is that true for me, if that's true for you, would you raise your hand in the house this morning? They complained against Moses for not giving them that which only God can give. They complained against Moses for not giving them that which only God can give. It is here that Moses becomes an example of how to respond to the challenges of the wilderness in faith. Verse 25. So Moses cried out to the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast the tree into the waters were made sweet. Three things to remember, and I'm finished. Number one is my message over and over. God is aware of your needs. That's all the time. He's aware of your needs. God knew that they would face what they would face at Marah. He himself had planned their journey. He knew about their needs before they did. Nothing in your life takes God by surprise. He is already in tomorrow. He knows what you will face when you get there. He knows of the sickness that you've not yet developed. He knows of the grief while the one you are grieving is still alive. He knows about the bills that has yet to be mailed. I'm glad that I serve a God who knows what I need before I get there. Number two, he's able to meet our needs. Moses was commanded to cast a tree into the waters, and when he did that, the water was made sweet. God, in his wisdom, had already prepared the tree for the meeting of their needs. Lord, have mercy. When they arrived, he was already there. He manifest his power, and they got what they needed, not from Moses, but from the Lord. He's able to meet our needs as well. Have I got a witness in the house this morning? Number three, and I'm finished. Just as God did for the people of Israel, he's already provided for your needs and mine. Years before Israel arrived at Marah, years, God prepared that tree. God prepared a way before the way was ever needed. He does the same for us. He does the same for us. Did you ever realize a need that God didn't meet? We have to face the wilderness in faith. Move through life trusting God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That's personal. He will direct your path. If you are trusting in the Lord with all your heart and leaning not to your own understanding, he will direct your path. He will direct your path. He will direct your decisions. He will direct your movement. If you are trusting in the Lord with all your heart and leaning not to your own understanding, if you are prayerful in your movement and you believe in God, he will direct your path. And who am I to tell you about your path? How can I tell you which way to go after you've prayed about it? If God is directing your path, that is your path. A prayerful decision. Looking for direction in the face of bitter waters. He will direct your path. There's a tree in the text. I gotta say something about the tree. It's a tree that makes bitter water drinkable. It's a tree that makes the journey through the wilderness possible. It's a tree that God has prepared in advance for Israel's salvation. And there is another tree on a hill called Calvary. This tree has become a symbol of God's sacrifice for the salvation of the world. It's a tree that's a symbol of our belief and a reminder that God has already provided what we need most. Thank God for the tree on which our Savior died. Thank God for the tree that makes eternal life possible. Thank God for the tree that makes life sweeter, because we can bring our problems to the tree and leave our burdens there. At the cross, in 1869, Fanny Crosby wrote and published one of my favorite hymns, "Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross." There's a precious fountain, free to all the healing stream, flows from Calvary Fountain. The frame in the cross, be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river. Would you give God some praise this morning for developing our faith as we move through the wilderness?